We have to lift up our voice to God because God says in lifting up our voice to Him, He imbibes and dwells in His people. And so you can praise and worship God in the assembly of the believers. You can praise and worship God in your drive to work. You can praise and worship God in your place of work because it's between you and the Lord. And as you pray and worship the Lord, He will invite Himself and He'll come in because you're inviting Him, and He will dwell in you to release what He's going to do for you. Okay, so that's why we worship and praise. Sometimes people say, why so many songs? Why so much? Because it's all about worship and praise. As we worship and praise, I have an expectancy that God's going to show up, and in my worship and praise, He's going to give me direction and insight about what I'm supposed to do for Him in the days that go forward. So we thank You, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that the words that go forth from my lips this morning would be Holy Spirit-inspired words. And Father God, they'd be words to edify the body, to equip the body to go forth and do what You're calling the body to do in this hour. But in everything we do, Lord God, and even the words I speak, it is to give You glory, honor, and praise. And we say it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been talking for a number of times as I've been privileged and honored by Pastor Tim to come up here and release the word. And the Holy Spirit still hasn't let me finish the theme that I believe has been releasing to me for some time. And I'm going to continue with it one more time and add on to some things. But the word of the Lord this morning, and we talked last week a little bit about walking by the Spirit. The word of the Lord this morning is, and hear it closely, and it has to keep resonating in you and in you and in you because of the hour that we're in. I have appointed you. It's not your neighbor next door. It's not the person down the street. I have appointed you for wherever I have positioned you because you are going to be my spokesperson in the earth. I have appointed you. From the book of Jeremiah the prophet, 1:4, it says, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, and I've spoken on this before, but it's worth repeating because He wants it to get situated within you deep. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Jeremiah said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say that I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you to do, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out His hand and touch my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And I want everyone in the room to hear these words very closely again. I have appointed you to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. Words simply spoken to the one, Jeremiah. And I've studied this out. Many ministers and preachers say it was just for Jeremiah in that time. Are these words that are resonating to you and I today? Most assuredly, the words were specific to Jeremiah, reference his mantle. He was called to be a prophet. His mantle as a prophet, but I am here before you today to assure you, words spoken even now to you as well in this our day and our time, and bestowed upon us by God Himself, you have been appointed for just such a time as now. Amen. And I keep saying that. You have been appointed for just this time, in just this season, to do just what God has called you to do. He is raising up the body of Christ. He's raising up the church to go forth and be the light of Christ Jesus in the earth. And He has called you. And if you get caught up in your education and your background and your mess, you will not go forward in everything the Lord God's calling you to do. He doesn't care about your background. He doesn't care about your mess. He does in the sense that He's not going to keep you there. But He is calling you, lay persons, to go forth and minister minister the gospel of Jesus Christ in whatever way he's anointed you and equipped you to do it, and in any place he's put you. And believe me, wherever he's positioned you and put you, you will not fail if God is the one ordaining you to go forth and do it. God doesn't make mistakes. He didn't make a mistake with Jeremiah, young as he was, and he's not making a mistake with any of us today. He has called you for such a time as this to go forth in his anointing with whatever manual he's placed on you to release the word in a very dark place. And he won't stop until you've accomplished what he set out for you to do in the earth. He uses lay people. You can get in arguments, and I'm going off track here, sorry. You can get into arguments with people talking about your education, your denominational affiliation. It's not about any of this in this day and age. It's about the body of Christ, one body, every joint supplying. Every joint must supply. You can be Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, non-denominational. God doesn't care. Wherever he's positioned you, you need to go. If he's positioned you in the Catholic Church, you need to be in the Catholic Church. In the Lutheran Church, you need to be in the Lutheran Church. In the street, you need to be on the street. Wherever God's positioned you, you need to go. You need to hear his voice and follow in his direction as led by the Holy Spirit. Now, don't do goofy stuff. If the Holy Spirit isn't telling you to go do something, you ought not do it. You're going to get in trouble. But if the Holy Spirit has told you to start a business in a place that you don't think it's going to flourish, and he wants you to do something there, be obedient to do it, even if you don't see it in the natural. If God's called you to minister the word and you don't have a PhD in theology, you ought to minister the word, because he's going to work through you to do something. You look at the apostles, uneducated and unlearned men. But the world wants to put stuff on you. You're not important enough. You don't have the doctrine and the education to do what God has set you up to do. I've got the doctrine and education. I have the Holy Spirit. None of the apostles were learned or educated men as it came to Jesus, as it came to what Jesus was called to do. But Jesus used those men because it seemed foolish to the world, but it wasn't foolish to God. He used these men mightily to advance the kingdom of God, and he'll use you as well. Male, female, young, old, doesn't matter what your race is. If he's called you to, and he's equipping you, you're going to produce what he wants you to produce in the earth. And you're going to be amazed to see what God's doing. And it's not for our glory. It's to give God the glory. But you're on assignment. So many years now we've been playing church. Come in for an hour, sing the songs, go out. For many, do nothing further because we think that's all it is. You're the church. You're the ecclesia. You're supposed to go up, rise up, go out, produce what God wants you to do in this hour. We can't play church anymore. We have to be the church because the times are dark. And everyone in here has something to do. I can walk around the room. I can't do what you are called to do. Why? Because God called you to do it. I don't have the Holy Spirit component or gifting for what she's been called to do. I don't have the same gifting that Julie has. I don't have the same gifting that Drew has. Everybody has a unique gifting. And we have to come together as a body of Christ, because if we don't have one person doing what they're supposed to do, we're going to be impotent in that area. We have to do what God's calling us to do, and we need all of us. Today is a perfect example. A young man that maybe sat in church for many times, didn't feel maybe that you're important, but God has assignment even for him. If he's receptive to hear the word of God, to hear the voice of God, and to walk out in what God's causing him to do. He's called us to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to bind, and to plant. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at your mess. If you're in mess, go to the Lord and ask him to heal you, and he'll heal you. Tell him to bring someone into your life that will show you the direction and the way to get that healing, and he'll heal you. God's an awesome God. He's capable of any problem that you've encountered. We get all uptight about problems that come our way, and God says, "This ain't a problem for me. Why are you looking at this problem? I created the universe. By my right hand, I sustain it, King Jesus. All things under his realm, under his control." If you walk into your calling and destiny afraid, thinking you're going to fail, you don't have understanding. It isn't you. It's King Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. He's not going to fail. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what it is you need for the circumstances you're in, for whatever it is he wants to produce in and through you. And it's going to get accomplished. So be encouraged today. You may look around and you may see the natural. That's the other thing the church needs to have an understanding. We are supernatural people. We are spirit people in the flesh. The church can't keep looking at the flesh. We have to look at the Spirit. We have to talk about the Holy Spirit. Because it equips us to do the work of the kingdom. At whatever level he's in you, as however much you want to receive of him. The outpouring. And we're going to sing a song at the end to say, Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down in me. I want more of you. I want to be able to release more for you. Because it's all about you. It's all about the kingdom. He wants you to pluck up, break down, destroy, overthrow, build, and plant. We're to arise in this hour. We're to stand and take our position. You have a calling. An ordination unique for each one of you from our Lord and Creator, and he is not in the business of making mistakes. Now, sometimes I've said to God, is this a mistake? I'm not equipped to do this. What are you doing? God doesn't make mistakes. And sometimes we look at God and said, and I've said this to God, I don't want to do that. You're going to do it. But I'm afraid. I'm uncomfortable. You're going to do it. And if I don't do the things God tells me to do, then I have this heaviness about me. And I can't get it released until we release the word, whatever it is, or do whatever it is we're called to do. He wants you to arise. And he doesn't have to get into the business of explaining anything to you. He's God. He's the all-knowing, the almighty God. He's got a plan, purpose, and destiny in place. He knows what he wants to produce here. And you're the person that he's going to work through to accomplish. He does nothing in the earth unless he does it through his people. Right? We're his people, his chosen people, his royal priesthood, his holy nation. If he's going to move, and we're always looking around, well, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to move through you. Arise, he says, stand and take your position. You have a calling from me, an ordination, unique for each one from our Lord and Creator, and he is in the business of getting things done. To rise up, to remain, to serve. Something has been bestowed upon each one of us specifically for the advancement of the kingdom of God in the here and now. Your kingdom started even before you were born, because before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. I could give a whole sermon on why we don't take something out of the womb, because you don't want to mess with God. Because he's forming something to accomplish something. He's the creator and the sustainer. To oversee in the sphere or the realm that God is positioning you in personally and for this very hour in time. I should have been born years ago, people say. I shouldn't have been. Yeah, you were born just when you were needed to be born, because he knew what you needed to accomplish for the kingdom. Now is your time and your season. You have been appointed beforehand specifically for a fixed time and season to walk in your God-given calling or God-given ordination, for the purpose of advancing his kingdom for his glory. And he asks you, what say you? Going to just come to church every Sunday? The church as I know it growing up isn't going to cut it in the hour that we're in. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Anywhere you praise and worship, go praise and worship. We're glad you're here. But wherever God's calling you, praise and worship, but it's not going to be enough for what's coming in the world. You have to understand who you are. You're very important in God's eyes. And again, it doesn't have to be, I'm walking in fear because I'm afraid. I'm not afraid of the future. I'm not afraid about what's going to happen 5 minutes or 6 months down the road, because I'm in relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's got everything under control. Worst case scenario, he takes me home. Best case scenario, I get to mess with Satan's kingdom in the earth. Destroy the works of the devil as led by the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast. And I'm reading from Matthew 22. Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his own business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to the slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So therefore, go to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite them to the wedding feast." Those slaves went out into the street and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guest, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes, and he said to him, "Friend, how did you come here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hear these words, and I've said them before several times. Many are called, few chosen. Why? Because we haven't prepared ourselves for King Jesus. We haven't prepared ourselves for the wedding feast. And when he returns, it's going to be too late if you haven't done so. Now is the time you have to make that commitment. God is indeed calling you. Appointed you from beforehand, we know that from the book of Jeremiah, calling you into his eternal kingdom that starts even in the here and now. And his word gives you the formula for entering in, and it's not a complicated one. You have been called, it's up to you if you choose the calling, and that formula is a very familiar scripture: for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You can hook up with all sorts of weird ministries that are going to put all sorts of things on you that you need to do in order to be saved. And there's only one thing. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? And if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, your lifestyle's going to be adjusted accordingly. To just say, "I know Jesus as Lord and Savior," isn't enough if you aren't serving Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's no complicated formula. I don't have to go to a specific church. I don't have to pray 10 times a day facing east. The law has been fulfilled through Jesus. I just have to know him as Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, and follow him. And that's the formula that gets you into the wedding feast. The formula is Jesus Christ, Mashiach. Jesus Christ, pure and simple. And I hear people, they like, when you start discussing, when you do ministry and start talking to people, they want to school you. "Well, this means this," and you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brenda? "This means this, and you're not telling this, and you're not telling that." And my response, you don't agree with the way we do this in the church, and I go to them and say, "What's the one thing that you need to be saved?" Jesus Christ. We all know in part. We all prophesy in part. That's why the body needs each other. All right, so there's some of you in the room. Willie knows something that I don't know. Dan may know something that I don't know. Terry may know something that I don't know. But when we come together, the pieces start coming together and we get a fullness of what it is. So I never want to argue with another man of God if he's falling. And it says the Antichrist spirit is anything that doesn't accept that Jesus is the Christ. So anybody that accepts Jesus as Christ, then I have to say to myself, what is God doing with this person in this hour? It's not my place to judge them. But if they come and bring an attack or an accusation and say, "You need this, this, and this," I said, "No, I don't. I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I may not worship the way you do. I may not be in the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church. I'm in the place that God has positioned me to be in, to touch the lives of the people that God is calling me to touch." Or whoever you are, and that's where he's positioned you. It doesn't mean the person down the street's wrong. It doesn't mean because they do communion a certain way that they're wrong. In the end, we're all going to find out we were wrong in a number of areas, right? We're going to get up to heaven, and he says, "What were you thinking? Why did you spend so much time dealing with X, Y, and Z?" It didn't matter. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I've known Jesus as my... I knew Jesus since I was a little boy, because I used to pray to him all the time, but I didn't know Jesus. I didn't really understand who Jesus was. And then I got that Holy Spirit in me. And then the scriptures began to open up, and I got a revelation. And I've said this before, you would not have caught me speaking in front of people 15 years ago. I would have been terrified. And now, if anybody's done ministry, and I've talked to my sister about this, when you start talking, In whatever God has positioned you in, all of a sudden you're not talking anymore. You can, she has a Christian candle store in Waukesha, start talking to the people, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit takes over, and you're like, what did I just say? But again, it's not about me. I'm nothing, but I'm everything in Christ, right? I'm everything in Christ. All of you are everything in Christ. And you need to go out and do what he's calling you to do. Jesus. You're going to make mistakes, and you're going to at times stumble and fall. You can come with all your mess and with all your faults and failures. He has seen it all, and he knows it all, and he still loves you, and he still reaches out to you and proclaims to you that it doesn't matter. He'll make it new if you'll submit unto him. He'll make it all new. I can't get this sin beyond. I've done such a horrific thing. He'll never love me. And I'm telling you, there's only one unforgivable sin. I've said it before. It's grieving the Holy Spirit, which what is rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, pure and simple. Well, I got divorced. I'm going to hell. No. I did this as a youth. No. It's not going to not save you. If you confess it, repent of it, make effort not to continue to do it, and maybe you'll stumble a few times. Maybe you'll stumble 100 times. But ultimately, if you come to the place where you allow Jesus into your heart, he'll make you new. He's not going to keep you in the position that you're in. It must be your choice. No one can enter in for you. Not your parents, not your husband or wife, not a pastor, no one else. It is a choice you must make on your own and for yourself. And let me assure you, regardless of how you entered into this sanctuary today, from Romans 10:8, it says, the word Jesus is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that I am preaching today. God has placed it within you since before he even formed you in the womb. Perhaps you struggle with the same. Not quite sure. Just not seemingly able to take a hold of it. But I assure you, and hear me very clearly today, and keep going, the foundation Jesus is within you by the grace of God. It is there to be released because God created you to know him, to love him, and to take your place in his kingdom that has no end. You have been appointed. God has placed the knowledge of himself and Jesus within you, and the floodgates, I assure you, are going to open up. Primed and ready to open, and the Holy Spirit is ready to flow through you. Now, how do I know this? I know it by the Holy Spirit that's in me. Amen. I know the Holy Spirit in me tells me. I know because we have the witness in Scripture of John the Baptist. We have the witnesses of the works of Jesus. We have the witness of the Father. We have the Scriptures themselves, but above all, we have that witness of the Holy Spirit who indeed testifies with me as to the very truth of King Jesus. You're not going to stand before the throne room of God and say at the end, I didn't know you, because he gives you that element. Now, people can argue, I don't have the Holy Spirit, the whole baptism thing. No. He calls people. Father calls you and leads you by his Spirit. God is in the business of getting things done, and God is not in the business of making mistakes. He created you, loves you, cares for you, walks with you, supports you, uplifts you, comforts you. He lifts you high and above your problems, your circumstances, your afflictions and addictions, and your enemy. And he equips you to accomplish the purposes through you in the earth. He is calling you into kingdom business. We've had these messages before, and the King of Kings is enthroned and seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you even now. I get up and I start praying, and I did it this morning. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family and travel. I knew people were traveling here. I plead the blood of Jesus. I pray for protection and safety, and then I'm done, because now it's in his hands, and I ought not worry about it, right? Because he's in the business of taking care of business. And he's going to make sure that nothing happens that shouldn't happen according to his either direct or permissive will. If God is for you, I assure you he is, ain't anybody or anything going to be able to come against you and win. It would be foolish for someone to think otherwise. You don't want to mess with Daddy God. And I call him Daddy. Heavenly Father. You don't want to mess with him. When I pray for somebody and someone comes up against that, I'm going to get away because something's going to happen. Because Daddy's in the business of getting his business done through his chosen people. And I don't have to think about, is he or is he not on the throne? He's enthroned. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. And I always bring it to his remembrance. I pray something, hey, and I probably shouldn't. Hey, I released the word. I told them about your son, Jesus. Now, Jesus, I ask that you confess me before the Father because I've got a petition. I need something accomplished in the earth. And I ask that you remember me. And he does. And he intercedes. Now, maybe it's not going to be the way I want it to be. Maybe it will be. But he has answered. Because he's in the business of taking care of his people. He's in the business of kingdom business. Okay? If God is for you, no one can be against you. It would be foolish. He takes care of his own. And if he sets you on assignment, get ready for victory. Whether you see it in the natural or not, because we serve a supernatural God. And he is shaking things up in the heavenlies through those he calls into the service for the advancement of his kingdom. Don't hook up with God if you don't want to get in the business of shaking things up. Because you're going to be come against. The minute you start to release the word, things are going to happen. You know you must be doing something right because things are shaking up in the spirit realm. And there's going to be conflict. We serve a supernatural God who doesn't mind shaking things up. And he'll look at you and said, I'm going to use you to shake things up. Get ready. Things are going to get a little difficult. But I'm in the business of dealing with difficult. You better believe you are equipped when you are grounded and rooted in Christ Jesus. Something is going to happen. Something's going to happen. Now, these things I've talked about before, and it's kind of repeat, but I want to talk about some principles as you walk or go forth. Least you become deceived by the enemy and he takes hold to wear you down. You can have a calling and a gifting, but if you don't understand Scripture and you don't understand what you're facing, you're going to get discouraged. Principle number one, you are not of the world. You're not of this world. We're walking through this world, but we're not of it because you are what? You are kingdom kids. You're kingdom kids going forth on your way home. But he's going to have you do things in this time and season. The world is going to hate you. You may feel out of place at times. You may feel like you don't fit in with the crowd. And young people especially may say this. And I didn't feel like I fit in when I was growing up. Didn't have a lot of friends. Couldn't understand it. And guess what? He was preparing me for ministry. Because people aren't going to like you often when you're in the ministry. Pastor Tim, anybody that's ministered, all of us can attest to it. If you're doing it, your ministry in your workplace, you start to release the word of God, you're going to get some people that don't like you. Why? Because you're messing in the spirit realm with the adversary, and he doesn't like it. If you do nothing in your life, sit around in your chair, don't do anything, you're not going to be bothered, right? Because Satan doesn't care if you just go to church every Sunday and don't do anything for the kingdom. You're not causing a problem. Go ahead and worship. Worship God, but don't do anything. If you begin to do anything, things are going to start to get messy. You are not of the world. You may be the only one taking the stance for the word of God. Godly principles in a world seemingly bent on following anything but the word of God. I say to you, don't panic. I even say to you, congratulations. It is the confirmation of who you are and who you belong to. Jesus was separated out as well, hated and rejected. But guess what? He brought kingdom. And so will you. Appointed from God, on assignment from God, consecrated, in other words, separated out for holiness. I talked about that last week. You can't be a Christian and walk in the flesh. Or you can be, but you need to clean it up and move according to God. Heavenly Jerusalem is our home. From John 15, it says, and this is Jesus, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. You're going to be just as Jesus is your walking in the earth. They rejected him, and they're at times going to reject you. It says in Scripture, brother will betray brother to death, father his children, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And I want to put a caveat in here. Jesus has to come first, right? Even if your own family comes against you, Jesus has to come first. Amen. All right? And everything else will fall into place. But you may have enemies even from your own household. It says you will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured till the end who will be saved. It's words of Jesus from Matthew 10 at 21. Another scripture says, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. And I love this. Oh, Jesus loves you. God loves you. You can do whatever you want. I came to bring peace. No, he didn't. He is the Prince of Peace for those that are walking him, right? But he's not bringing peace. He's separating things out. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Now, I'm not saying go home and say, yeah, you're my enemy. If you're getting along, we should be getting along. But the reality is not everybody is going to get along with you, right? We want to encourage and support good relationships. God tells us to go out into the world and be at peace with as many people as we can be. But I'm going to tell you something right now, that's not always possible. There are going to be circumstances that you are going to have to confront in the supernatural. You're going to have to get in your prayer closet and intercede, because that's the only way you're going to break some of these things. If it's family members, you're going to have to get down on your knees and say, Daddy, I want to take care of some business. And you have to remember again, it isn't something that you do in vain, because he's going to hear you if you're walking in him. Well, I need it today because it's fast food society. I drive up to McDonald's and get my hamburger in 2 minutes. Well, God's not in the business of fast food. Sometimes he is. But normally he's in the business of, I'm going to get this done in my perfect timing, and the timing may not be quite right yet to do what it is you're asking me to do, but it'll get done if you have faith. If you have faith. It says, don't ask me for anything if you don't have faith, expecting, and I'm paraphrasing, because what do you expect from me? You're asking me something, but you don't believe I'm going to produce it, so it's probably not going to get done. But if you ask believing, you're going to receive it. It says it's time for judgment to begin with the household of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Scripture goes on to say, by the way, I'm in principle number 2 now, you will at times share in the sufferings of Christ. And this is where we lose a lot of the body of Christ. Why would God allow me to suffer? Why is my life so difficult? You're connected to Christ. Christ's life was difficult. Christ was beaten at the end where the flesh came off his back. He was nailed to a cross. People really don't understand what literally was happening to him. It was every sin that was ever committed or that ever will be committed was being carried in his body. He crucified it. None of us are ever going to get to that point. That's how he suffered. So when I begin to suffer and I hear people say, there can't be a God. Why would God allow evil to occur? Men are the ones that create evil, not God. And people can argue, well, evil had a... And I'm not going to get into that theological discussion today, but the reality is you choose or not choose how to walk. Okay? God doesn't calls you to walk in evil. But because evil's in the world and he's allowing it to play out, why? Because he wants to get as many people saved as possible. People, well, why doesn't God do something about it? He is doing something about it. While all this is going on, he's working to get one saved. And his timing's not our timing, right? Sometimes I'm going, okay, God, I've waited this many years now. You think you're going to answer my prayer sometime soon? And he kind of chuckles. He said, the timing's not right yet. Are you still obedient to do the work I've called you to do while the timing isn't right? That's endurance, right? It's easy to be a Christian if everything's going smooth. Everybody loves me. I've preached and people have come back and attacked me and done various things, but the reality is it doesn't matter if I'm on sound biblical principle. If I'm not, I need to be corrected. But I'm a mere man. I'll make mistakes. But my heart's right, right? I have the Holy Spirit in me. I think I tried to be led by the Holy Spirit, but there will be times that people won't agree with me, and it's okay. I'm not focused on whether people agree with me or not. I'm focused on kingdom business. I got to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ while it's still day, because gross darkness is coming upon the earth. There's going to become a time, and I see it already in some areas where people aren't going to listen to you because they think you're crazy. And he told us in Scripture it was going to happen, right? He told us in Scripture that things were going to begin to shut down, gross darkness, and I see it already. And I've talked about that before, I won't consider. But he says to consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I don't like that endurance thing. Yeah, you've asked me 40 times, keep asking, it's not quite ready yet, but it's building endurance in you, because do you really have faith? Yeah, it's easy, I have faith because everything's going right in my life. No. Do you really have faith to sustain when the attacks come, when the storms come in your life, and they're going on for months and months and years, and everybody has their story in this room? But I'm still standing because I serve a supernatural God, and I know that he says he's got me covered. I don't understand it. I don't like how it makes me feel. I'm in the flesh, so I have emotions about it. I cry and sob when I cry and sob. But the reality is, I serve a supernatural, awesome God who's got me covered, who tells me to stand firm. He's going to build my endurance. And so the next time some crisis comes, I'm equipped to handle it. Because more and more and more that you're asked to endure, the stronger your faith becomes. And all of a sudden, now you're ministering to someone that doesn't have a strong faith because they need just your faith to get them through. Because you've been through that fire. You've been through that journey, and you can understand what it is they're going through. And God is going to send you. If you've gone through some horrific problem in your life and you've survived it, even though it may not be resolved, you survived it, guess what? Hey, Dawn, I'm going to call you on assignment because I know what you went through. And this person over here needs to hear your faith. Well, I don't have a PhD in theology. Yeah, you do. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have all the teaching that you need to go forth if you're hearing in the Spirit and not walking by the flesh. The Scripture itself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. It says, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Question posed, why would a good and loving God allow us to suffer? My response to you is, why wouldn't he? He suffered, and you're connected to him. You are connected to the most powerful power source in the universe. He suffered. You're his servant. You're his ambassador. You're going to take on that suffering too, because you died with him into death. You're raised up with him into baptism. And so in order to receive the glory, eternal salvation, we also have to share in the suffering. It's a given. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. Are you suffering today? You ought look to Christ in Scripture. He suffered unto his own death for you, took on every sin of man, and carried it in his body to destroy the same once for all. Praise God that we can join in just a taste of his suffering to share in his resurrection onto a wonderful world without end. You have to understand this. Christ suffered, and so too shall the body of Christ as we're walking forth as kingdom kids. Don't become unglued when it happens. Rejoice and keep your focus during those times. Keep your focus on King Jesus. Principle number 3, your struggles are not against flesh and blood. We cannot go forth into our own natural abilities to advance the kingdom. This is where we separate, I'll say, the girls from the women instead of the boys from the men, right? Because you have to look beyond church as we've known it and look at church, the body of Christ. We're in a spiritual warfare. We get our strength in the Lord, and in the strength of his might, we have to put on his full armor, Scripture says, so that we'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. If you think you're battling against for your family's salvation and the natural, you are not going to experience victory, because it's a supernatural battle. There's 3 heavens: the third heaven, the throne room; the second heaven, the air; the first heaven, the earth. When you pray in the earth, it's got to reach the third heaven. There's battle going around in the spirit realm. the second heaven. Satan's trying to attack and trying to prevent things from going forth. Right? Because he wants to mess with us because he doesn't want the kingdom to be advanced. He wants to get as many people to go where he thinks he's going to be with all these people. But I'm telling you, hell is not what he thinks it is. Okay? But in any event, there's going to be that warfare going on in the spirit realm. In the book of Ephesians, it conveys that we are to take up the full armor of God so that we may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to do what? Stand. You're going to be asked to stand. And we talk about the helmet of salvation. If I know that I'm saved, that protects me. No one can take that away from you. That's the helmet of salvation. Regardless of what is said against you, regardless of what terrible, horrific things may happen in your life, if I hold fast to that helmet, if you will, I'm going to be okay. If I have the breastplate of faith, well, Wayne, God doesn't love you. Why would he allow this to happen to you? Well, let me see. I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He says I'm going to enter into his kingdom for an eternity. You can't change that. No one's going to tell me Jesus doesn't exist. I don't care how many people around me say he's not real. I don't care how many people tell me he was a mere man. I don't care. I have my faith. And it isn't going to be moved because it's grounded and rooted in the foundation, the only foundation that's worth anything. And I'm not going to go on to it in detail, but you need to look into it. We're fighting against principalities, wicked things in the heavenlies. But we are spirit beings. And as you're connected to the Holy Spirit, you're going to get direction and guidance about how to defeat them. One of the ways is praying in the Spirit. I'm not going into that discussion today, but I'm just saying there's weapons that are going to come against us in the supernatural, in the spirit realm, but we're supernatural people. Because of who we are in Christ Jesus. And our warfare is in that. Take on preparation of the gospel of peace. There's also take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, right? It's your mouth. We have these discussions all the time. Be careful what you say. Your mouth is a powerful weapon when it's used correctly. And it's a double-edged sword because it goes out there and deals with it, but it also is going to clean you out, right? Two-sided sword, double-edged sword. So if you're saying things that are negative, and don't get me wrong, we all have our days. I'm not saying, oh, you're never going to have a bad day. Everything's going to be fine. No, but understand. And I declare things, and I have all sorts of examples of things I've declared, and I've seen them come to pass. But again, in alignment with what the Holy Spirit desires, not what I desire. Oh, I need a new car. You know, that ministry that talks about, oh, you're going to get all these good things. Well, I don't know in the kingdom where it says I need to have that. Right? It's about kingdom work because we're kingdom kids. Principle number 4, we are not in this alone, and God is the one fighting for us as he leads us in our God-given calling and ordination. From Joshua 23, and I'm going to wrap up. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you. Have no misunderstanding. If he calls one of you, he's going to get it accomplished. You don't need an army. We know this from other scriptures. So if he says to Greg, I'm putting you on assignment to take care of these 4,000 people over here, and Greg's going, what the heck? I can't defeat them. Oh, yes, you can if God called you on assignment. He can put one person in position and it can effectuate change. We look at Harvester's Church. It's a small church right now. But we're powerful because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's a presence here, which I love so much coming in here, because every time I sit back there, I can feel the wind of the Holy Spirit on me. And if we look at numbers, and believe me, the church numbers are, in all areas of the church, are starting to go down, and you can get discouraged. I don't care. Why? Because I'm on assignment. And if God tells me to be here and under a godly man, then I'm going to be here under a godly man and do what the Lord's calling me to do. Right? Because we don't know what he's going to do, even if we had two of us gathered together in his name, because he says where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. You may not even have two, but you've got you and the three-ply cord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if you're out there ministering in the workplace, and you're going, gosh, I can't, yeah, you're well-equipped if God's calling you to do something. If God brings in people for you to minister to, you're well-equipped to do it, because something is going to happen if you keep your eyes focused on him. We are not in this alone. From Samuel, it says, David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, The God of the armies of Israel, who you have taunted, this day the Lord will deliver you up in my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from me. How did David kill Goliath? What did he use? A stone, right? We have a stone, the living stone, Jesus Christ. That's all we need. It will destroy the works of the enemy as you're led. And I always say, be led by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit leads you, if you shoot that rock or that stone, Jesus Christ, it's going to hit its mark. Okay? It's going to hit its mark. The Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Another scripture, listen, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. We can look in the natural. The church has to get out of the natural. You are supernatural, and God's a supernatural God. If he's leading you that something's going to change or that something needs to be accomplished, speak the word that he's telling you to speak. Do the thing that he's telling you to do, and then stand back firm, waiting to see the shaking that's about to come. And it's going to happen. There are a variety of gifts. The fourth principle, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon you. I won't go into detail on Holy Spirit, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. When the apostles were in the upper room, fire came down on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden they were speaking in tongues and doing things, and gifts were bestowed, and suddenly there were bold warriors going forth to advance the kingdom of God, and that's exactly what happened to me. I didn't know the scripture very well at all until I got that revelation through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly I open up. I can teach on revelations if the Lord asked me to teach on it. I haven't gone to Bible college. Doesn't matter, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of all truth, all knowledge, all understanding, and he's flowing through me as I'm going forth to advance the kingdom. We are kingdom kids, and we have the Holy Spirit, and he's releasing it through it. And again, different gifts for different people. All of us, however, have giftings and callings, and as we come together, we're a very, very powerful body of Christ. Even in little old Harvester's Church, or wherever God's positioning you, even in your own sphere of where you're being positioned and put, you have giftings and callings that are equipping you, giftings and callings by the Holy Spirit that are equipping you to do exactly what God wants you to do in this hour. So I say to you today, be encouraged. Amen. All right? You are special in God's eyes. You are positioned exactly where God has positioned you. And even if you don't feel yourself that you're ready to move into it, then work with God. Start to have relation. Open a Bible. Start to read the Bible. Start to find, if you don't like one church, find a church that you feel comfortable in. But do be, I don't have to go to church. You need to be connected with the body for encouragement. Oh, there's hypocrites in the church. Yeah, there's hypocrites all over. What difference does it make? I'm not coming for the hypocrites. I'm coming to serve my God. I'm coming to praise and worship him, get infilling for him so I can go out the next week, so I can be refreshed and go out the next week because problems are going to come my way, right? But I get uplifted by the body. And maybe I can get a revelation from somebody that I wouldn't have thought of because they've got a gifting or calling, or maybe God's going to direct them to me. That's why we hook into the body. God has placed the members, each one of us, in the body just as he desires. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members. There are many members, but one body. We all need each other. Recap. You are not of the world. You will at times share in the suffering of Christ. Your struggles are not against flesh and blood. We are not in this alone. We have God with us, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're